Well, we can do better than that in the city of Aiken, can't we? Good evening.
Good evening.
That's it. Welcome to the Aiken City Council meeting, August 13th. We're going to call it to order. We're going to start with our invocation and our pledge. For our invocation, we're going to open with a moment of silence. Recently, the city of Aiken lost one of our former council members, Michael Anaclario. He was a good man who through his whole life till the end, I promise, probably not one of us wasn't familiar with getting a call with a great idea from Mike. So we appreciate all he contributed to the city of Aiken. Also, I'd like to remember Alice Allington, Gary's wife, who Gary comes as a part of the chamber and is a big part of our city, too. We all think of you and hold you in our prayers in this time of loss, too, Gary said. I appreciate it. So let's rise. We're going to have a moment of silence and a prayer. Let's have a moment of silence. Most gracious Father, we come to you tonight remembering those who were ahead of us, like Michael Anaclario, who paved a path to make the city the great place that it is, the place that we love. We pray that your blessings would be upon us tonight as we do the business of the people. We pray that you'd give us wisdom, courage, and strength, and that in everything we do, you would find pleasing. It is in your name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to ask Chief Branko if he would come up at this time. Good evening, Chief, and lead us in our pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Chief. I'd like to go over the guidelines of our meeting at this time. Our meetings are public forums in which many opinions are expressed, and the business of the city must be conducted. As such, disciplined, honorable, and professional decorum is paramount. Courteous and respectful communication is expected. During public hearings, all questions and statements from the public shall be directed to the chair. And if you wish to speak, raise your hand, and I will certainly recognize you. Please approach the podium, state your name and address. In order to allow an opportunity for everyone who wishes to address council, speakers should limit their comments to the subject that we're discussing at the time. Each speaker will be given 5 minutes to address an issue and may only address an issue once unless questions from council are posed to the speaker. And with that, I'll recognize our Mayor Pro Tem, Ms. Gail Diggs, for additions or deletions to the agenda. Councilwoman Diggs.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We have one addition to the agenda. Under item number 2, presentations, we have added number 3, a proclamation for National Community Health Center Week. Are there any further additions or deletions? Would there be a none? I make a motion that we approve the agenda.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor of the agenda as amended? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Before the meeting, minutes were distributed for the review of council members. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Okay. Thank you, Councilman Waltz. Is there a second?
I second.
Okay. Thank you, Councilwoman Diggs. All those in favor of approving the minutes as distributed? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to that portion, number 2, presentations on our agenda. Number 1 is the oath of office for our city manager. And I think we'll ask our city clerk, Ms. Sarah Rideout, and Mr. Stuart Beanball to go down front for this.
Don't mess up.
Raise your right hand and repeat after me, please. I, Stuart B. Moe.
I, Stuart B. Moe.
Do solemnly affirm.
Do solemnly affirm.
That I will truly and faithfully.
That I will truly and faithfully.
Without fear.
Without fear.
Favor.
Favor.
Prejudice.
Prejudice.
Or partiality.
Or partiality.
And to the best of my ability.
And to the best of my ability.
Execute the duties.
Execute the duties.
Pertaining to the office.
Pertaining to the office.
Of city manager.
Of city manager.
To which I have been appointed.
To which I have been appointed. I further affirm.
That I will support the charter.
That I will support the charter.
Of the city of Aiken.
Of the city of Aiken.
The Constitution.
The Constitution.
Of the state of South Carolina.
Of the state of South Carolina.
And of the United States.
And of the United States of America. So help me God.
I know you have some guests here tonight. You'd like to introduce them.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If I could be indulged for just a moment, I do. First, I want to recognize my mother is recuperating from a broken leg, so she was unable to be here. And I guess she may be watching online or not, but acknowledge my mother and my late father. And I do have, again, my wife and Catherine and my son Thomas and my daughter Colleen. And I told Thomas and Colleen they don't have to come to any more meetings. And my sister-in-law Margaret is here, and then I have some friends that were invited. Let's see, Kim McNeely, Matt and Carol Beckham, Brian and Erica Sanders, and Danny and Shannon Mays. So anyway, thank you very much.
Welcome.
They told me they were here to sing.
They can carry a tune. Congratulations, Stuart.
Thank you.
All right, moving down presentations. Number two, this is a presentation to Hankinson Boxing Gym. And I'm going to ask Councilwoman Leslie Price, if she would, to read this resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is a resolution that is signed by the mayor and city council to the Hankinson family. And the resolution reads, whereas Hankinson Boxing Gym has a goal to help the youth be successful adults, and whereas Hankinson Boxing Gym was founded in May of 2015 by James and Brittany Hankinson, and whereas James and Brittany Hankinson have opened their home and backyard to young athletes throughout our community to build healthier bodies, sharper minds, and better lives through discipline and training, and whereas seven members of Hankinson Boxing Gym were invited to West Virginia for the Junior Olympic and Prep National Championship matches, and whereas at that event, Terrell Rocket, who's 12 years old, won the 101-pound Bantam male class title, and Gabriana Hankinson, 12 years old, won the 139-pound Bantam female class title. Now, therefore, let it be resolved that the mayor and city council do hereby congratulate and recognize Terrell and Gabriana for winning these championships and representing our city, and applaud all of the athletes who train at Hankinson Boxing Gym. We are proud of you and your accomplishments, and thank James and Brittany Hankinson for their dedication to our youth of tomorrow. Signed by the mayor of the city of Aiken, Rick Osmond, and city council.
Okay. And there's a motion to accept that?
Yes.
Is there a second?
I second.
All those in favor? And, of course, that's unanimous. I'm going to ask all of council, if we will, because we have several of the athletes here, and certainly including including Terrell and Jabriano with us tonight. But I'm going to ask all council to join me down front and let's present. We have three resolutions, one for each of our champions and then one for the gym as well. And we're just excited to have you with us. Thank you, first of all, to the Hankinsons for what you do and to all these athletes who are here. So can we give them a round of applause and have the athletes come up?
The Hankinson and his team is coming up. If you want to see core values taught, visit the Hankinson home. Not only is it an humble religious setting, but also a lot of values that will, core values that will last them throughout their lifetime.
Let's see, we have one for Terrell. Terrell, congratulations.
Let
you stand
a little bit.
Yep, Terrell up front.
Terrell right here.
That's right. That's right. Now let's see. Where's Jabriana?
Terrell. Where's Terrell? Come right here.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I saw her fight.
Yeah. Did you learn anything from the game?
I went to the matches. I missed it.
Can we see? Let's make sure we see.
Are you on boxers?
Yes.
I feel safe.
I feel safe, too.
I'm safe.
You know,
I'm
going to make it happen.
Do
we need to get in?
Is that
everybody? We can come in. That's fine.
Let me see.
I might be out higher than Hank.
Chasing in here, did you?
Wait, we missed someone. Mrs. Hankinson.
She's here. I
know that
she's not up here. Yes, she is.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Good young people and all. I guarantee you, Hank sees their report cards. He sees your report cards as soon as they come out, doesn't he?
Yes. Classes in the schools.
That's right. Great program. Number three under presentations is recognizing National Community Health Center Week. And I'm going to ask Councilwoman Gail Diggs if she would read the presentation.
Good evening again. Rural Health Services, for those of you who don't know, is a federally qualified community health center here in Aiken County. We have three locations. We have the Clyburn Center for Primary Care, we have Margaret J. Weston, and we also have Family Health Care, which is Dr. Bland's old office in South Aiken. We provide services for those who have Medicaid, Medicare, private insurance, sliding scale fee, and we don't turn anyone away for their inability to pay. We offer dental, adult medicine, x-ray, pediatrics, OBGYN, behavior health, x-ray, dermatology, and vision in our Aiken office. This week,
All across the nation, federally qualified community health centers like ours celebrate the opportunity to say thank you to the community, but also to highlight our services and make the community more aware of the things that we offer. And this is our week. We have Lee Tant from South Carolina Primary Healthcare Association here to accept this proclamation, and I'm going to read it. Whereas for over 50 years, community health centers have provided high-quality, affordable, comprehensive, primary, and preventative health care in our nation's underserved communities, delivering value to and having a significant impact on America's health care system. And whereas, as the country's largest primary care network, health centers are the health care home for 27 million Americans in over 10,000 communities across the nation. One in every 12 people in the United States get their care in a community health center. And whereas health centers are a critical element of the health system, serving both rural and urban populations and often providing the only accessible and dependable source of primary care in their communities. Every day, health centers develop new approaches to integrating a wide range of services beyond primary care, including oral health, vision, behavioral health, and pharmacy services to meet the needs and challenges of their communities. And whereas health centers nationally employ more than 200,000 people, including physicians, nurse practitioners, physician's assistants, and certified nurse midwives, who work as part of a multidisciplinary clinical team designed to treat the whole patient. Health centers reduce overall cost of care by helping to manage patients' chronic conditions, which keeps them out of costlier healthcare settings like hospital emergency rooms. And whereas health centers are on the front lines of emerging healthcare crises, providing access to care for our nation's veterans, addressing the opioid epidemic, and responding to public health threats in the wake of natural disasters. And whereas, during National Health Center Week, we celebrate the legacy of America's health centers and their vital role in shaping the past, present, and future of America's healthcare system. Now, therefore, I, Rick N. Osmond, and the Aiken City Council do proclaim August 12th through 18th, 2018, as National Health Center Week, and encourage every resident to visit their local health center and celebrate the important partnership between America's health centers and the communities they serve.
I think we have someone to present it to.
Yes. This is Lee Tant from South Carolina Primary Healthcare Association. Lee is over our advocacy and outreach programs and
public relations, marketing, graphic design, and other duties as a
subject. Lee, come down here.
Thank you.
This too.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Very well.
Good job.
That was a lot.
Well,
it was, but we'll save the check for you. I'm going to go to the group.
Open news and everything. Y'all don't have to leave.
Well, you said back then.
They need those boxers.
We're going to move down to old business at this time. Number one is discussion of appointees to various city boards, commissions, and committees. And I'll recognize Mr. Stuart Biedenbaugh at this time.
Thank you, Mayor. At this time, we have no pending appointments for council consideration.
All right. Are there any appointments to be made for consideration at our next meeting?
I'd like to reappoint Richard Funkhauser to the General Aviation Commission.
Okay. Very good.
I have one more that I'm working on.
Very good. Any others be moved forward at our next meeting? All right. Thank you. Moving down old business, number two, this is a second reading of public hearing of an ordinance to authorize the establishment of an economic development incentive program by title and ordinance authorizing and establishing an economic development incentive program to encourage private investment in certain areas of the city of Aiken and other matters related thereto. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
I second.
Thank you. And comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, we have been discussing an economic incentive ordinance for several months now, and what we have done, we've had several work sessions with council to get sort of some direction. We've worked with an attorney that specializes in these, has drafted several throughout South Carolina, and we've also had a public work session with members of the public to get input from those individuals, as well as had a number of meetings and conversations with interested parties to put something together. And what we've presented after a lot of this discussion is, for second reading tonight, a draft that is different, quite different from what was originally proposed. What we have right now is the incentives or the rebates that we would propose are very similar, because state law does not really give us the opportunity to offer a lot of incentives as, say, the State Department of Commerce or counties have the luxury of offering. But it is a retrospective program, a rebate, as you may describe, where you have to be in business and then get retrospectively reimbursed. We also eliminated the geographic zones, whereas initially we had rebates based on geographic areas of the city. And the investment threshold varied depending on the area of the city that the project was located in, and that also has been eliminated. The other thing we've done at council's direction, we've worked on a matrix to help staff do some incentives, to calculate the incentives, and those were presented to council earlier. We were very fortunate to have the able assistance of the Small Business Development Center out of USC Aiken to put this together. And these rebates will, incentive programs, council will still have the final word on this. The incentives are modest based on what state law allows us to rebate, but they are incentives nonetheless. But as we discussed in the work session prior to this meeting, for some small businesses, the rebates could mean whether or not they're able to stay in business or not. For a larger or a so-called franchise or big box, it may not matter, but for a small business, it would. So that is what, after we've gotten input from council, members of the business community, and individuals in the city, this is what we have before council tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Biedenbaugh. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council?
I just had one question on page 50. Some of these paragraph Roman numeral 1 and 2, some of these fees are paid upon issue of certificate of occupancy, which is really at the beginning, and I thought this was going to be
the end. Yeah, that would need to be cleaned up. It is meant to be a retrospective, so it would be after a year. So that would need to be amended as part of the second reading.
Well, we mentioned in the work session that there might be some tweaking that was required.
Any other comments from council? Before we vote, I would recommend, since this is the second reading, that we make that amendment. Gary, would you want to help us with the wording?
I was trying to find page 50. I'm not seeing it on the...
It's page 5, actually, of the ordinance. It's page 50 of the printed copy.
Gotcha.
It's section little I, little double I, and so forth through that...
So the request is to change it from the issuance of a certificate of occupancy for the project to 1 year following the issuance?
Correct, yes.
The issuance of the certificate of occupancy?
Yes.
And then we just need to change all three of those paragraphs?
Yes.
That's what I meant
actually,
to say.
Actually, it's just paragraph I and paragraph II, if I'm reading it correctly.
Okay. I think the motion... Councilman Jetta made the motion. Councilwoman Diggs made the second.
That is acceptable to both.
That is acceptable.
Okay. Back to the original question. As amended, would that change? Which would change?
Do we have to move the amendment and get the amendment seconded?
The motion is second.
The motion's been amended.
Yes, that's what I'm doing. All right. All those in favor of the... Economic Development Incentive Program Ordinance with those changes this time, please raise your hand. And that's unanimous. Thank you.
Further changes to this ordinance would have to have 2 readings.
City Council approval. Yes, sir.
And any incentives, as we mentioned, is similar to, we have an annexation policy, but annexed properties still have to come to council for approval, so it's akin to that.
Yep. Okay.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Moving down our agenda to new business items. Number one under new business, this is a first reading of an ordinance to annex property at 784 Henry Street and zone it residential single family RS-10. By title, an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the City of Aiken certain property located at 784 Henry Street and to zone the same residential single family RS-10. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Councilman Gerardo. Is there a second?
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Thank you, Councilwoman Price. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, we have an annexation before council for 784 Henry Street. Pursuant to our water and sewer policy, the Planning Commission heard this at their January 10th meeting and unanimously recommended the annexation with one member absent. So you have before you on first reading an ordinance to annex the property at 784 Henry Street and zone at RS-10.
Thank you, Mr. Biedenbrock. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council? Hearing none, all those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down new business to item number 2. This is a first reading of an ordinance to rezone and approve a concept plan for property at 2820 Whiskey Road. By title, an ordinance amending the zoning of real estate located at 2820 Whiskey Road from planned commercial PC to planned residential PR. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Okay. Thank you, Councilman Gerardo. Is there a second?
I second.
Okay. Thank you, Councilwoman Diggs. Comments from staff?
Thank you, Mayor. We have... this before council tonight, a rezoning and a concept plan approval for what the developer is calling Danbrook Village. It's approximately a little over 20 acres adjacent to the Kensington subdivision. This property has come before council before, but a difference here with this parcel, with this development now, is that whereas a prior item before council some time back had the entrance into the next phase was through the existing Kensington subdivision. This does not have that the means of ingress and egress to this development are on Whiskey Road. And the Planning Commission reviewed this at their July 10th meeting and unanimously approved its passage, 6-0 with one commissioner absent, to approve the concept plan and rezone it to plan residential with the conditions listed. One thing that subsequent to that, in on August 6th, an amended concept plan was issued to add some additional right-of-way throughout the development and also align the ingress and egress directly to an existing drive across Whiskey Road, and that reduced the number of units to from 118 to 116 and slightly shifted it about 200 feet north. And we do have the amended concept plan in the packet, as well as I think a larger copy at your seat today. And for council approval on first reading is the ordinance to amend the zoning of the real estate at this location from planned commercial to planned residential.
Very good. Thank you. Any comments from the audience? Yes. Yes. Hey, you can come up. Absolutely. Good evening.
Lenore Lewis. I live in Springstone Villas, and I don't know if this is premature to ask in the process, but my concern, especially having read the article in yesterday's Aiken Standard regarding the Somerton Village median and the traffic situation that is causing concern, with the new traffic pattern that has resulted from the new gas station at what used to be Mundy's Corner at Powder House in Aiken. That's creating issues for people coming down Stratford. That is already concerning. So the idea of a fairly dense housing project with the ingress and egress on Whiskey, I just hope that the traffic studies will take into account all that additional traffic in addition to what will hopefully be traffic at the Aiken Mall when that is redeveloped. But I'm really getting a little concerned about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Is the developer here tonight? Could you come up for one? Good evening. Thank you for being with us tonight. Is there XL or DCL lanes, I guess, as a part of this?
We have had done our traffic study on that, and whatever the DOT is determining, we will have to do. Okay. For that. Also, she brought up, talked about Somerton. Somerton's also my development.
Okay.
And of course, that is a concern of ours. We didn't see the article until this afternoon on that. And I know it's part of Aiken City, Aiken County, everybody's involved. We are trying to address that with the DOT. Unfortunately, they're not sometimes easy to work with.
Good luck.
But yeah, that's what they said. They did have us move that entrance down, which I think they feel is going to help a little bit better with the traffic flows further away from the gas station that's there.
And that lines up with another.
There's a church over there. There's two entrances or exits to that church. We'll line up directly with them. That's what they wanted. I wasn't real fond of that design, but yeah, I can live with it. It'll be fine.
Thank you for being here with us, Simon.
Okay, anytime.
Any other comments from the audience? Comments from council? All right, all those in favor on first reading? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to item number 3 under new business. This is first reading of an ordinance to amend the city code regarding the enforcement of yard maintenance requirements. By title, an ordinance amending section 10-4AA and 10-4CC of the Aiken City Code. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Councilman DeWar, the motion. Is there a second?
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Thank you, Councilman Price. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, thank you. We began discussing the property maintenance code amendments back over a year ago, and we've gotten to this point. Essentially, we had some discussions with council and then with the Council of Neighborhoods and members of the public. We had a public meeting with where we brought in individuals from other jurisdictions and a former city attorney to discuss property maintenance. We had first reading of the ordinance in October of 2017, and then it went back for some more work. There were a lot of different stakeholders that participated in between first and second reading, a lot of versions of the ordinance going around. What we have, what council approved on second reading was what it was a version that discussed overgrown instead of a reference of specific height for grass. So there's a couple of items that are up for council's consideration after some discussion specifically with the Council of Neighborhoods. One of them is changing the word overgrown to a specific reference of height to 12 inches. That is, I know, something that the Council of Neighborhoods has been very strong in terms of expressing. I will tell you, I know I've heard from others, I know from some on our enforcement staff and others that the word overgrown is preferred, but what's before you tonight is 12 inches. And also we are adding to a section of the code that adding a phrase, tree debris on an improved lot, meaning if a tree falls in the yard and is not removed within a given period of time, that is a violation of the property maintenance ordinance. And one thing that is new that has come up since we've been working with the enforcement of this new ordinance is our code, because we've had our code official have to address an issue with fencing in certain properties. Our code requires if a section of a fence falls, it must be removed because it is considered debris or rubbish, what have you. But there's nothing in there that it needs to be either replaced or that the entire fence needs to come down. So we did add some language based on consultation with some on council as well as with staff that we added the section where it says all fences and walls should be regularly maintained to continue their structural integrity and or to provide a neat appearance and to preserve the aesthetic character. And we do have some other sort of grammatical or tweaking language in the revised ordinance. So that is what is before council today. We've had this ordinance in effect for about 6 months. I will say just since we've enforced, had this revised ordinance passed in March, what we've done is council did budget for one additional inspector, and my understanding is that position is about to be filled, and a new inspector should be starting next month. Also, a part-time administrative person, because a lot of the work property maintenance-wise that needs to be done is administrative, and we did interviews last week and believe we'll have that position filled within the next month as well. Also, one of the things that has worked very well with this is on the demolition side of the project. We do, number one, council did staff a great favor by funding a good bit of money for demolition. And as we've sold property, we have also been able to supplement that with revenue from selling city-owned property. And we've taken two houses down already this year and have 19 others in the queue to be taken down within this fiscal year. So we are making progress on several fronts, just to give an update. But what we have denied is these amendments to the property maintenance ordinance. We knew that as it was such a radical change to the ordinance that we would have to probably come back and do some tweaking. Some of it, again, the issues I went through other than the fencing, that should have been in the ordinance for second reading in March, but again, with the variety of ordinance, draft ordinances going around, that did not happen. So that's what we have for council's consideration tonight.
Okay, so Mr. Beedenbaugh, I'd just like to recap. There's, first of all, change the word as far as grass or growth to from overgrown to 12 inches.
Correct.
Okay. And what is staff recommendation on that?
The staff's recommendation is to continue with overgrown versus having a specific inch categorization.
Okay. Secondly, tree debris. I just want to make sure because we've covered a lot. Tree debris on an
improved lot. That is, we're adding that phrase. And again, that there have been issues where trees have fallen in yards, and again, not due to like a natural disaster or a major weather event, but residents have been slow. Property owners have been slow to remove trees in neighborhoods.
And staff recommendation on that?
That's a good recommendation. Yes. Okay. Something there in favor.
Third is if a section of a fence falls and can't be repaired, that the fence is brought down.
Correct. Either the fence is removed in its entirety or the missing sections are replaced.
Okay. And staff is supportive of that?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I know because we've had a lot of discussions today, and I've been calling a lot of our ACON members to check on this too. So the another issue that I think has changed in this that we didn't talk about is the 120-day rental to 60 days.
Yes, so that is correct. The owner responsibility, thank you, Mr. Mayor, in Section O. And I know with that, there are some conditions right now. It is at 120 days, and then there are some categorizations that if you have a building permit or it's in a state of construction of some sort, certainly that doesn't apply. But in terms of a building that's vacant for more than 60 days, you know, you cannot allow that building to stay vacant for 60 days. That is the recommendation right now before council is an amendment. It is 120 currently in the property maintenance code with certain conditions such as, you know, certified repairs, that it meets, that the lawn is maintained and the structure is in good condition and so forth.
So, and I was told in way of explanation, and we'll let everyone have a chance to speak, okay? This is, I just want to make sure we all know what we're looking at before we do that. I was told in way of explanation that if the house or property was maintained, it didn't trigger the 120 or the
yes.
60.
Correct. Yes. That's correct.
Because that was my concern, and Councilman Waltz and I spoke about it earlier, and I think it's very valid. If you own a property and you're going to rent it, you don't want to feel rushed and jump to maybe rent to someone who isn't exactly who you want to rent to because of a timeline arbitrarily set by our council. So we don't want to do that. So my understanding is, and I really would like the language clarified on this, quite frankly, but whether it's 120 or 60 days, as long as the property is maintained, it does not kick in that timeline.
If it were maintained, we wouldn't be worrying about the 120 days.
Right.
But it's just part of a structure that's not being maintained and we're focusing on.
Correct.
That's not being kept up. The outside's not being maintained properly.
So it doesn't trigger just an empty rental. And I think that's the concerns that I heard on this.
Well, why would we not care about an empty rental?
Why would we not care? Well, if they maintain it, it's really not.
Yeah, Well, that's the point. I mean,
right.
They have to maintain it, and if they don't maintain it, they're in violation after 60 days.
Right. I understand. I just want to clarify that it's not just if your apartment goes empty or your rental goes empty, you have 60 days to find someone to live in.
Oh, no. You can have an empty building as long as it's
empty. If I could clarify, Mr. Mayor, I didn't include all of the language in the ordinance as I drafted it because I only included paragraphs that I was actually modifying. But the remainder of paragraph O, there are three sections. Section 1 talks about permits, which means the building is the subject of an active building permit for repair or rehabilitation, and the owner is progressing diligently to complete the repair or rehabilitation. 2 is sale or lease, that says the building meets all applicable codes, does not contribute to blight, is ready for occupancy, and is actively being offered for sale, lease, or rent. And then the third item is maintained. It says the building does not contribute to and is not likely to contribute to blight because the owner is actively maintaining and monitoring the building so that it does not contribute to blight. Active maintenance and monitoring shall include maintenance of landscaping and plant material in good condition, maintenance of the exterior of the building, including but not limited to paint and finishes in good condition, prompt and regular removal of all exterior trash, debris, and graffiti, maintenance of the building in continuing compliance with all applicable codes and regulations, and prevention of criminal activity on the premises, including but not limited to use and sale of controlled substances, prostitution, criminal street gang activity, loitering, or trespassing. So as long as the owner of the property isn't allowing any of that to go on, then the 60 days would not kick in, or the 120 days would not kick in, whichever council decides on.
Mr. Smith, I have a question. The way this is written, if the property is rented,
yes, sir,
and the tenant doesn't take care of the grass, we'll say it's overgrown, isn't maintained, who's responsible?
You have two people. You have a tenant and a landlord, mm-hmm, that would be responsible for the upkeep of the property. The our maintenance code will primarily go against the owner of the property because that's the only way we can establish a lien on the property for tax purposes. If after being contacted the owner does not properly take care of the property, then the only way the city can put a lien on that residence is to go against the landowner himself. Now, the landowner may have an agreement with his tenant where the tenant's supposed to be keeping up the property as part of the lease arrangement. Okay? But that doesn't preclude the city from going against the landlord if the tenant doesn't actually do the work he's supposed to do.
Would the city go after the landlord first in your interpretation?
I believe so.
So the city would go after the tenant first and then fall back on the owner.
Initially, the city may or may not know whether the property is actually being rented, so there's going to be some investigation going on before they actually determine.
The city should know who owns the property if it's not the person.
They'll know who owns the property, right, but as they're driving down the street and they see an unmaintained property, they're not going to necessarily know who's living there.
Right.
So there'll be some investigation going on.
They go after the landlord.
Yes. Right.
Eventually.
Right.
I'm certain that we will hear from the audience regarding the 12 inches because I have some concerns. Even though I voted to second that motion, I just want to get it to discussion.
Sure.
But I have not. I have some personal feelings about what's here.
And public officer refers to code officials only?
That's correct. That's how the public officer is defined as the building code inspectors, Teddy Umstead, Mike Jordan, whoever the third guy is, would be the next guy's going to be.
We had some issues with regard to issuing permits to ensure that the permits were acceptable, or what the person wanted to do was acceptable to the covenant in the house, in the area. And I know we can't enforce covenants, but we can respect them before we issue a permit, I think. And does that belong in this ordinance, or is that in an administrative procedure within staff?
That would be an issue for the zoning ordinance for the issuance of a building permit. It's problematic for city staff to confirm that
a particular request for a building permit that's coming before the building permit officer is in compliance with the restrictive covenants of a particular neighborhood. Our examiner may very well decide that they are, and the neighborhood itself may decide that it's not. And so what we're doing is we're asking the applicant to confirm for the zoning director, planning director, that the request actually complies with the restrictive covenants of that particular neighborhood. And so the burden's on the property owner.
And it would be appropriate, would it not, to require that a copy of the covenant be submitted with a permit application?
I don't have a problem with that, but the city can't be responsible for making some certification to the neighborhood that whatever permit has come before the city actually complies with their restrictive covenants. Only the neighborhood can confirm that.
Okay, so
who do we go after when there is a person is evicted and the furniture is just dumped out in front of the property? Do we go after the owner?
We do.
Okay,
Under this ordinance, you go against the owner.
Okay, and
just understand the principle behind that. Because what happens is when the city goes and cleans a lot up where we've notified the owner that he needs to go clean the lot up. Well, if the owner doesn't clean the lot up, then the ordinance allows the city to clean the lot up. And then it allows the city to submit a bill to the owner for the owner to pay that. We're essentially his contractor at this point. If the owner does not pay that, then the city code allows the city to go to the tax office and file a lien against his property that is actually an additional fee charged to his tax bill at the end of the year.
Well, how long do we give them to clean it up?
You're talking about if they get a note, we send a certified letter and they have 30 days to address the issue, and then the city will then do an involuntary cleanup, and then it is billed.
Is there no way to send something to the tenant first and put them on record that they're responsible for doing this?
We don't know that they're responsible for doing that. They may have an agreement with their landlord who says you've got to clean it up.
Well, you don't know they aren't either.
Well, I understand that.
You don't know they aren't either.
I understand. But
if they're paying the water bill and they're living there, it seems it's in fairness to the property owner. The
city's beef has to be with the landowner.
Right.
Because the landowner is the one who owns the property and who's responsible for the maintenance of the property. If he chooses to allow the tenant to be responsible for the maintenance of the property, that's a contractual arrangement he has with his tenant. We only have the ability to deal with the owner of the property.
Okay. I think the other change that this ordinance makes is it reinstates the words of mechanical
and vehicle parts, which is some cleanup language
which we had, and then we changed, and it reinstates that back into it as opposed to abandoned vehicle.
Why did we take out illegal in section 1C?
We moved it to the end.
Just that's it.
Okay. Yes.
All right, so basically there's five issues that this ordinance is changing at this point. I just wanted to restate those for us.
Okay. The first issue is we added, we moved illegal activity from, again, just a kind of a clarification from in paragraph E from the middle down to the end of section E. In section O under owner responsibility, which we went over the various responsibilities that they have and what exempts them from this section. We reduced the number of days from 120 days to 60 days that owners have to address a dilapidated or a substandard building, unless they have a building permit and it's an active building project, or the building is for sale or lease and meets applicable codes, or it is properly being maintained with the descriptions underneath, such as the yards being cut, the structures being maintained, and it's in compliance with the building code. Then under section AA, we have eliminated the overgrown and are specifying that the height of the vegetation cannot exceed 12 inches. Then in section AA, also paragraph 3, we added something new, which is about fences and walls that sections, if become dilapidated or fall down, the section either needs to be repaired or the entire wall or fence needs to be removed. And then in section Z, under property to be kept clean, we, in addition to a number of appliances and other items, we added vehicle parts to that. And finally, under section CC, under nuisances, we added that lots, it's considered a nuisance lot if there's tree debris on an improved lot for, you know, an extended period of time.
Okay.
And those are the changes that are recommended to section 10-4, which is the property maintenance code.
Okay. And a vehicle stored on property must be working.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, that has not been addressed because that is in the code.
That's current.
Yes, that is currently in the code.
Thank you, Mr. Beanball, for that. Thank you for indulging your mayor for that. I'd like to open it now for a comment. Beth. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm Beth Copenhever. I'm secretary for the Aiken Council of Neighborhoods, and I live in Jim Lakes, 238 Springwood Drive. Just wanted to ask something, and thank you all. Bless you so much for adding a position to help Teddy enforce this. We need more positions to be added as well. I did understand, I thought it was a position and a half.
Yes. It is. And yes, there's a half of an administrative person and one whole person, well, a half-time position and a full-time position. So it's one and a half.
All right, wonderful. And we'll look forward to maybe another position next year. We need it. But thank you. Anyway, I just wanted to ask something, too, because I have also had a couple calls about this, and if next before the second reading we could put the entire ordinance on the website. When I went to the city's website and I printed it out, I thought, my goodness, they've left a lot. The people who asked the questions, it would have been much clearer had they had the rest of for instance, the qualifications. Sam and I talked about it, and when he read it and the mayor and I talked about it, it's all in there. So please print the entire thing. And the last thing, I just wanted to make certain that everyone knows that this part of what is on the agenda says that this is just AA and CC, and I'm glad Stuart said that it's also EOZ, AA, BB, and CC. So there are six sections total, and Gary Smith very kindly made certain that all of those have been changed and added. I think that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. I appreciate your work on this. Any other comments from the audience?
Get one in the back.
Yes. Yes, sir. Good evening.
Good evening, sir. Side question. My name is Lieutenant Randy Tittle, just Salvation Army here in Aiken.
Yes, Lieutenant.
And I wanted to ask the council, what was the stand, or how does that work with properties and probate?
Okay, I'll turn that over to our counselor.
You may have asked a question that you can't figure out the answer to. Each probate situation is different. And during the pendency of the probate, you know, a property can be in probate for more than a year. While that case is being probated, the personal representative of the estate is really the owner of the property until the probate court decides otherwise. And they do have some responsibility with, you know, maintaining all this. Now, the real estate taxes still have to be paid while the probate estate is pending. And so as they're paying, if this property were neglected and the city were to go in and clean it up, that bill would attach to the real estate taxes and they would have to be paid by the personal representative. So the probate estate should not defeat the purpose of this ordinance.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Yes, ma'am. Hey, good evening.
Hey. I forgot one part. I'm the treasurer for Aiken Council of Neighborhoods, and we forgot to mention the inches, the 12 inches. We checked with four different cities, and they're 12 inches or less, so we do need a specific number on the inches, not just at somebody what they think is overgrown.
Thank you. Any other comments from the audience?
If I may, Mr. Mayor, if the council would want to go this route, we could, with the comments we've gotten, the questions we've gotten from council, would there be an interest in perhaps we continue this to get it just refined a little more based on some of the feedback and to answer some of these questions, or that is something staff is prepared to do if they would rather do that than move forward?
I would. I certainly would be fine with that. I don't know how council feels.
How much tweaking do you think you need?
Can you have it by our next meeting?
Yes. Our next meeting's September 10th.
Well, that would put this thing, it would be approved the second meeting in September.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it'd be approved second. Yes.
How does Aiken feel about it?
Okay, is there a motion to continue this?
Well, we've got a motion on the table. It has been passed. Motion to continue this ordinance, Mr. Mayor.
I second.
Okay. I think I made the motion to pass it. I'll accept the modification.
Does it continue? Need a modification? Okay. So we have a motion. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor of continuing this our next meeting? Raise your hand. That's unanimous. Okay. Thank you, Stuart. And I'd like to thank the members of ACON who I think I spoke with almost every one of you on the phone today, so thank you for your input and helping put this together for us. So. Down new business to item number four. This is a first reading of an ordinance to sell three lots in Tool Hill to Stephen Hutto by title, an ordinance approving the sale of three properties on Cox Avenue in Tool Hill. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Okay. Councilman Ward, Councilwoman Price, comments from staff.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We've been involved in a somewhat of a pilot program to work with a realtor, several realtors to list some of our vacant unimproved property. And we have an offer from Mr. Hutto to purchase three parcels through the realtor, $12,000. The two adjoining parcels, he would build his residence in a garage, is what the realtor tells me. And the other parcel is across the street, but we would get these back into onto the tax rolls. And again, this money would be dedicated as prior sales for building, you know, our building demolition program that we've been embarking on.
Thank you, sir. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council? All those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you.
So, do you have a? Ms. Myers had a comment to make.
Well, I apologize. I didn't see. How could I miss you?
I bet Myers too, Hill.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Myers.
Mr. Burkhalter.
Mr. Burkhalter.
To you with the church.
Okay, as we studied this plan, to sell these lots, for a long time we did not know the city owned these lots. Well, the way we found out is that I came up to get somebody to clean them, and that's when I found out whose they were. They're small lots, and I think I heard you say a house and a garage.
That is what the realtor has. I have not spoken to the property owner, the proposed buyer, but that is what the realtor has shared with me.
Okay. Because we are concerned because on McCormick Street, where I am with the small lots, I guess about 9 people cannot get in their backyards. And, you know, this is an all-senior neighborhood. You got about 85% seniors are still there. And we are concerned about the type of houses he's going to build or who these homes would be offered to buy. It's just like when the city came in, there was housing authorities added with it to build houses. We would not, I promise you, we would not want housing authorities to put those houses in there. This is where we have the problems. Jewel Hill is terrible right now. You just don't know. We had people just to move out, and even Mr. Wickensburg, he owned one of those houses. So he called me to try to get, there's a senior moved out that's 90 years old because she can't sleep for the noise and things that's going on. I have been there 53 years, and they have been there all their lives. But it seems like we're being pushed out now. So Mr. Hutto or whoever get this property need to study and see what Tool Hill consists of. Over where the lot is on Cox Avenue, seniors, nothing but seniors. I think the man next door to you, adjacent to the city lot, he's in his 90s.
Well, Ms. Bay, we just had, so this was first reading.
Okay.
I'm going to ask staff, Stuart, and I will maybe get in touch with you tomorrow, and let's try to facilitate, being so we can understand exactly before second reading.
Yes.
What's going on here.
Ms. Betty, let me just say that it's my understanding that this is someone who is purchasing these lots and building his home. Not apartments, but his home.
This will be owner-occupied as
well. He is living in the home, and he wants a garage to go with his home.
Okay. Those are the two sides. That's what the realtor has told me, because I did ask him once we got the proposed offer. I said, you know, what is the purpose? And that is what the realtor has told me, that it's this individual's home, that he would build his home on it, owner-occupied. But we'll confirm to make sure there is no misunderstanding, and we do have to do a second reading. And we, if there is anything other than that, it sounds like the sense of counsel would be we sort of would exercise some due diligence and caution.
Okay. Please do that, because we are very concerned. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Burkhalter.
Thank you.
All right, number 5. This is an approval of an undergrounding agreement with South Carolina Electric and Gas Company for south boundary from Williamsburg Street to Whiskey Road, Chesterfield Street. Is there a motion?
I move.
Thank you, Councilman Waltz. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Councilman Gerardo. Comments from staff?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. At our July 9th meeting, Council reviewed and approved a first phase of undergrounding from Williamsburg Street back towards the east to Charleston Street of the utility lines that SE&G has. And Council at that time asked us to work with SE&G to develop a cost estimate to do a second phase from Williamsburg Street back to Whiskey Road to the west, which would underground the the entirety of that stretch of south boundary, which encompasses where we have a lot of our old growth trees that Aiken is known for. We did have at a work session today, earlier today, some detailed explanation from Mr. Neely. The cost is, even though the area that is in this so-called second phase is longer in distance or more square or more linear feet, it did come out at quite a bit more due to the presence of some three-way power. But SENG does estimate our share to be approximately $301,000. They would pay the other 50%. We are, depending on once council determines the scope of the project, we have been talking with the folks from the other utilities that use the lines, and then we will begin those discussions with specifically the AT&T and Atlantic Broadband. But for as council directed at the last meeting, we have it for consideration approval of an underground agreement for the lines on south boundary from Williamsburg Street back to Whiskey Road.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mr. Beanball. Comments from the audience? Comments from council? Okay, all those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
If you will allow me to go back to something that Mrs. Ms. Betty is very troubled with, and that is some of the issues that Tool Hill that exists right now in Tool Hill. Some in particular is the street that she lives on, and Chief, I think you've talked with her, and one suggestion was more patrolling of that street, but in addition to that, considering putting cameras up. So if you will chat with her, she could pretty much tell you when to have your officers out there in terms of patrolling. So
thank you, Councilwoman Price. All right, moving down to agenda number 6. This is a first reading of an ordinance to amend the city budget for fiscal year 2018-19 by title an ordinance amending the budget of the city of Aiken for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2018 and ending June 30th, 2019. Is there a motion?
I so move.
Thank you, Councilwoman Diggs. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Councilwoman Price. Comments from staff?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As we do every year, we have a budget where we have, and this is a good thing, we have unspent funds from the previous year that obviously when we close the books on that fiscal year, we must... there a lot of times the reason why we have unspent funds is due to projects are not completed, there's a wait time on ordering equipment, etc. So from an accounting perspective, we need to amend the budget for the current fiscal year to account for that, and also it is something that we do as part of the regular to prepare for the annual audit as well. But what we have for council tonight is an ordinance to amend the city budget to account for these unspent funds to include them into this current fiscal year's budget, 2018-19. First reading of it.
Very good. What's the amount?
The total amount. It is, Mr. Mayor, it's approximately $800,000 plus.
$830,000, $836,520.
It's out of, but it's in multiple funds. It's in our general fund, water and sewer, storm water, solid waste, and hospitality tax.
Thank you. All right, comments from the audience?
Comments from council?
Okay, all those in favor? And of course, that's unanimous. Thank you. Item number 7 on our agenda. This is a first reading of an ordinance to sell a lot on Sumter Street Northeast by title an ordinance approving the sale of a lot on Sumter Street in Edgewood subdivision. That's supposed to be Is that right?
It is Edgewood, yes. It is.
All right. Is there a motion?
I so move.
Councilwoman Diggs, is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Councilman DeWar. Comments from staff?
The Matthews is James and Marcella Matthews live directly next door to this property, and we've been talking with them. And they've expressed an interest for a while in purchasing the lot that we obtained through the forfeited land commission, and they have offered us $2,000 for the property, and we have before council consideration of this transaction. First reading.
Very good. Thank you. Any comments from the audience? Comments or questions from council?
Stuart, do
yes.
we know who owns the property on the other side of them, the house that looks like it hadn't been even occupied in 10, 15 years?
Isn't there a shed that they mutually share?
Think so.
Yes, I believe that is the problem. Mr. Matthews has expressed to me, I guess that individual may have purchased it through a tax sale, if I'm not mistaken. But I know that has been something, I guess, that we're constantly addressing and working on in terms of the condition of the property.
It hadn't been maintained.
Yes.
And I think the house has been shut up for at least 10 years.
Yes, and I know he'd be he's expressed to me privately that's something he'd be interested in if the owner would work with him in purchasing.
Thank you.
So when we sell these lots, for example, on this one, the owner is giving us $2,000, we're giving him the deed.
That's correct.
No other costs involved?
Well, I mean, there are closing costs and so forth. But yes, and this is transacted through, in this case, with the realtor, so there will be a modest commission.
Why do we do that? I mean, what's the closing cost going to come to?
I guess it would depend on the individual.
It wouldn't
property.
Be significant. It'd be the cost of the deed, which the seller always pays for.
The
proration of real property taxes, which would not be significant. It's not going to be a lot of money.
I mean, I just thought the cost was so low that it would just be between the city and the buyer. And are we going to pay the closing costs?
No, it's the seller's closing costs,
yes.
is what Gary was just alluding to. It's are they charging us a 10% commission?
No, it's a residential commission.
So
that's what, 6%?
So it would be
$120.
Yeah, $120 roughly. Commission and maybe another $120 in dock stamps.
I suspect we got less than $500 in costs.
Yeah, well, they pay their own attorney fee and that type of thing.
Thank you.
All right, we have not voted. So we haven't voted on this, have we?
No. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for keeping me straight. All those in favor of this item? And that's unanimous. Item number 8, this is the first reading of an ordinance authorizing a development agreement between the City of Aiken and WTS of Rutland, LLC for improvements located at the intersection of Warren Street and Rutland Drive. By title, an ordinance authorizing the City of Aiken to enter into a development agreement with WTS of Rutland, LLC for the development of property located at 1012 Warren Street, Northwest, South Carolina 19. Is there a motion?
So moved. Second.
Councilman Waltz, Councilman Gerardo. First and seconded by the Eds. Comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. We do have before council a development agreement. We've been WTS of Rutland LLC has been working with us and our staff on this project, and there are several components to this. There are some intersection improvements. I know they've been working a lot with DOT on what needs to be done. There's also some signal. There'll be some minor signal modifications, which is not part of this. This only addresses any intersection improvements. This agreement is similar to what council has entered in before. Some of you remember when we did similar agreements where we cost shared with the developer to facilitate development on Whiskey Road, where the Krispy Kreme and the Harbor Freight is, as well as across Whiskey Road. We did similar work where the Starbucks is, and to allow that old building, we had to do a lot of stormwater work. So the city's investment there was similar to what we have here with this project. But this is something that we've been working with the developer on for several months, and this is what we're recommending to council at first reading tonight.
All right. Very good. Thank you. Any comments from the audience? Any comments from council?
This is a great move forward to that intersection. This is a good thing.
Okay, very good. All those in favor on first reading? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to petitions and requests. Number one, this is a request from the Aiken Chamber of Commerce for use of Park Avenue for Aiken's Making event. Is there a motion?
I so move.
Thank you, Councilwoman Diggs. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Councilwoman Price, comments from staff?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, it is time for the 42nd annual Aiken's Making event, September 7th and 8th. And as they have been for the last 8 to 10 years, they are requesting that they hold it on Park Avenue and close a portion of the westbound lane of Park from Chesterfield to Union. And also the eastbound portion of Park on that same area for this time specified in the cover memo.
All right. Thank you very much. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council? All those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. I'm going to ask council if we might to consider items 2, 3, and 4, that they're similar in nature. With one vote. I'll read them in and we'll ask for a motion for all three. Item number 2 is a request for USC Aiken and Aiken Downtown Development Association to hang banners in the downtown to welcome students. Number 3 is a request for displays of Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month in September 2018. And number 4 is a request to hang banners on the alley arches for Aiken Beekeepers Association event on August 18th, 2018. Is there a motion for
that?
Yeah, sure.
Is there a motion for these three items?
Second.
Okay. Yeah. I don't want to be stung on that.
Councilwoman Price, second by Councilman Jared.
Comments from staff?
Self-explanatory. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council? All those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Item number 5 is an approval of a resolution to provide match for a Municipal Association of South Carolina Hometown Economic Development Grant by title a resolution committing the City of Aiken to providing a local match for the Municipal Association of South Carolina Hometown Economic Development Grant. Is there a motion?
So moved.
All right. Councilman Gerda. Councilwoman Price. Comments from staff?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. The Municipal Association does have this program. It is capped at $25,000. And as part of the grant packet that we must submit, it must include a resolution from council that if awarded the grant, we would match 15% of the $25,000, in this case $3,750. And this year what we are proposing we use the grant for is to provide technical assistance and program development for the opportunity zone that we've been designated by the U.S. Department of the Treasury. So we need we request that council consider approving this resolution to commit to the $3,750 match that we could, so we can submit this as part of our application packet.
Very good. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council? Okay, all those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Item number 6 under petitions and requests is a request to ask Planning Commission to review utility trailers. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
I second.
Councilwoman Diggs. Comments from staff?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. It has come up recently, the issue of utility trailers parked in residential areas, and that as part of the discussion, it sort of dovetails with the property maintenance. However, this is covered by the zoning ordinance. I've been in discussion with our planning director, Ryan Bland, and he proposes, just to start the conversation, that we amend section 4.2.5 of the zoning ordinance to add utility trailers to the regulated vehicles. What we're asking council here now is just that we, the council asked to send this to the Planning Commission for review, so there would be certainly discussion at the Planning Commission meeting, a work session, and at a regular meeting, and then any change, we feel sure, if the Planning Commission recommends it, would require an ordinance amendment to the zoning ordinance, which would be two readings, so there would be ample opportunity for public discussion and input.
So this is going forward with a recommendation from staff?
It is a it is based on comments and concerns that we've gotten from members of council. And I know Mr. DeWar has mentioned this. He's heard from some of his constituents about it. So this is staff has researched this, and this is what we're recommending based on that for council consideration.
Well, thank you, sir. Any comments from the audience? Okay. Comments from council?
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
I'm having a hard time trying to put this utility trailer into this part of this ordinance here. This ordinance was not written with utility trailers in mind. When it was written back in, I think it was 99, it was because we were having a problem with large recreational vehicles parked in areas, tow trucks, guys bring them home at night, flashing lights, and that sort of thing. Utility trailers were not a part of this, and a lot of this wording is doesn't even fit to it, and I don't know that we have a real good definition of what a utility trailer is. I'm really not for including that in this ordinance at this time. Again, I'm pretty familiar with what was written because I wrote it back in 99. I think we're trying to put something in the wrong spot here. I really do. And for that reason, I'm against it. And then we're dropping it down from 3 to 2, which is another change, which means now a person can have a boat and a recreational vehicle trailer and a utility trailer. So we're really limiting them. So those are kind of my comments. I just don't think if a neighborhood's having a problem, the neighborhood association or the property owner association, to me, should be the ones responsible for that. We shouldn't try to inflict everything on the whole city in doing that. My thoughts.
Very good.
Utility trailers is defined on the second page, a vehicle designed to be pulled by a motor vehicle which is used to carry property, trash, or special equipment that is 22 and a half feet or less in length and 8 feet or less in height. We've got some, I raise the issue, we've got a couple of them in the house, like they're just a mess, and they're destroying property values or affecting property values, and it's no different than the issue of how high are you going to let your grass grow.
Well, it's, and we could debate that forever, but it's sure. When you say 8 feet or less in height, if I take and I know a couple of people who've done this, taken old horse trailers and converted them into being utility trailers, and they're more than 8 feet in height. So do they stay a horse trailer, or do they become a utility trailer?
We could work on a definition. No. I just would not want to live in a house that I would have to look out in front and see a trailer all weekend in front of my house. And I think that's one of the issues. I have seen houses where I saw one house in my district that had three of these units. It looked nice. I mean, the neighbor wasn't happy with it, but in my opinion, it looked nice. But I can show you one right now that looks terrible. And it's a blight to the neighborhood. And I think you raised the issue when you first put it in, it was so you didn't have tow trucks and other working vehicles parked in neighborhoods.
Right, and that's when we put it behind the roof line of the house and other things. And we worked very hard to get that done. That's what this whole section is about. It isn't about small utility trailers. And so I think we're not comparing apples to apples. We're doing apples and oranges and trying to put them all in the same basket.
We're adding an orange, if you would.
I don't mind it being discussed, but I tend to agree with Ed on this. I mean, we are opening up a big can of worms as to the definition of what it is and what it's not. I understand that there's problems in some cases, and what the answer to that is, I don't know, but it's worth the discussion.
I'm going to ask Ryan Bland.
You thought he was going to get through the whole night, didn't you, Ryan?
I wasn't going to call you until I saw you had the book, Ryan.
He's prepared.
Well, I agree. Councilman Waltz has brought up some very good points on this. Is there another place where this could be addressed in a different manner? I mean, I don't know. I guess this is your first stab at it, and I know we want the council of planning, but I tend to agree with what Councilman Waltz is saying on this.
Yeah, just for some context, so we regulate specifically recreational vehicles, which in the definition section of the zoning ordinance does not include vehicles for commercial use. So, and we regulate those by making them park. You have no more than three, and they have to be behind the front facade of the house. And if they're on a corner lot, then one of the sides has to be screened in some way. In addition to that, there's a second section about oversized vehicles other than recreational vehicles, and so those deal with like the big vehicles, as well as any vehicle that has an overall length exceeding 22 feet in length or 8 feet in height. So what staff attempted to do as requested was try to fill what that gap was between that and the recreational vehicle, and we researched several different utility trailer definitions other cities were using, and then tailored it to fit the gap between a utility trailer and a oversized vehicle, as we refer to it in the code. So that was staff's just attempt at trying to, again, you fill that gap, and then it would be dealt with. You know, there's a number of ways you could deal with it. I've seen other cities just require that they be parked on an improved surface, as opposed to just, you know, could be in the yard, things like that. Others do require them behind the front facade of the house, similar to the way we treat recreational vehicles or oversized vehicles. So there are various ways you can look at regulating them, but the definition goes back to kind of just trying to fill that gap that our code doesn't address.
Okay. Thank you. So our motion is to send this, ask the Planning Commission to review utility trailers. And I'm just going to preface this as I agree with what Councilman Jarrett said. I'm going to agree to send this on, but I hope we'll really ask our Planning Commission to put some thought into this and review it, because I'm not sure that this is where it belongs either. So anyway, all those in favor of the request to ask Planning Commission to review this time? And that's Councilwoman Price, the Mayor, Councilwoman Diggs, Councilman DeWar, Councilman Gerardo, all those opposed, Councilman Waltz. So the motion carries. All right, going down to information, issues and updates. Anything for the good?
Just a reminder, you did get a letter or an invitation to the South Carolina Aviation Week festivities that are next Monday at 9 a.m. at the Regional Airport, Aiken Regional Airport, and the Congressman Wilson will be there.
Very good. With that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I so move.
Councilman Waltz and second by Councilwoman Diggs. All those in favor, please stand up. Thank you for being here tonight.
That was a pretty sharp question about, I mean,